Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Please help us to hear and to respond with faith and grace as you give it. Amen. Please sit down. As Dave said, this is the fourth of our little series from the Lord's Prayer. And when we hear someone pray, we should discover their big priorities, what's most important to them. Things that are so important that they pour them out to God. Well, even more so in Jesus as he teaches his followers to pray. And we see that right at the center of that prayer is forgiveness. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And indeed, we see from the words which were said straight after the prayer that Jesus thought this was the aspect of the prayer which would need a bit of extra clarification, a bit of extra encouragement. For if you forgive others, verse 14, their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So can you see how this was important and also needed some clarification, some extra encouragement? Because maybe it was the aspect of the prayer which his followers might have said, oh, really? And so he says, before they say that, oh, yes, really. Please don't be put off that 400 years ago, the Greek word in the original New Testament was translated trespasses, and that might give you pictures of apples and things like that being taken from orchards. English changes. Interestingly, it's retained at the end of verse 15. But the meaning is still obvious. The ways we wrong God and wrong others. Indeed, the original Greek probably is best translated debts, as it's translated in the prayer in verse 12 there. When we wrong God, we owe him. When we wrong others, we owe them. And the only way we can pay back is how can we pay back when we have sinned against God and other people? We can't. I can be as nice as I want to someone I have wronged, but it doesn't put things right, does it? We can't put right our sins by doing good. It doesn't tackle the wrong. There's only one way to put wrongs right, and that is to seek forgiveness. Forgiveness given and received is what puts things right. And so that's the emphasis we get in Jesus' prayer. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So that's why Jesus puts forgiveness at the heart of his prayer. Forgiveness given and received. Isn't that good? I think it is. I think there's nothing much better than being forgiven when you have wronged someone and it's spoilt the relationship and you think it's over, and then forgiveness brings a new start, a clean slate and a fresh chance. Forgiveness is great. There's nothing better than receiving forgiveness. So I think it's brilliant that Jesus puts forgiveness at the center of his prayer, for all to pray. After all, it's the center of his good news, the message for all of humankind, the need to be forgiven. But I know that some people don't like the notion of Christian forgiveness, and indeed, in Jesus' time, it must have been quite a difficult notion for him to go on straight after he'd given the prayer, to give that extra bounce. So let's consider two or three of the objections which are commonly raised. First of all, this. Some people say Christian forgiveness is too cheap. Do you know the sort of thing? You may hear it yourself. Christians do wrong, then say sorry on Sunday and it's all right. But it's not. Christians do wrong, say sorry on Sunday, then carry on doing wrong. It's a sham. Now, these are good objections, aren't they, if that is what Christians do? But if people do things like that, it's not Christian forgiveness. When Christians confess their sins, for one, we are committing ourselves to change, to be different. If we say sorry, it's meant to mean I'm changing. No more. Forgiveness is not cheap. It demands a costly change of mind and actions from the one who receives forgiveness. And it also demands much of the forgiver. It demands a costly stop to bitterness and thoughts of revenge by the one who gives forgiveness. If you like, it demands a loss of face from both. One has to admit they've done wrong, which they can do nothing about but humbly beg forgiveness. The other loses face by offering a new start for their enemy, the free hand of friendship to the one who has brought them trouble. It's not cheap, is it? Christian forgiveness is costly for everyone. And that's recognized in Jesus' prayer, because he talks about forgiveness received and given, both of which are humbling. We can, and he goes on to say, we cannot receive the amazing, costly gift of forgiveness unless we give the amazing, costly gift of forgiveness. That's not cheap forgiveness. It's proper. A costly forgiveness, and that is the forgiveness which Jesus makes obvious in the center of the Lord's Prayer. There's a second objection, which you may hear, and it goes a bit like this. People who have done wrong don't deserve forgiveness. Why would you give forgiveness to someone who doesn't deserve it? It's not right. It's not moral, people might say. Well, I think this objection tends to miss the point of the Christian good news, which is this. No one deserves forgiveness. If forgiveness was given to the deserving, no one qualifies. All have done wrong and instead deserve something like punishment. But that doesn't put things right. Forgiveness puts things right because it recognizes wrong, then covers it over so that everyone can make a new start and move on. Forgiveness is not deserved. Forgiveness is a free gift to the undeserving. That's the point. So those who object in this manner have missed the point. Sometimes they say, well, somebody who's done something really, really wrong doesn't deserve it. But it's all the same. Nobody deserves it. It's a free gift. Jesus doesn't forgive our sins because we deserve it. He forgives because it's the only way to put things right. And we forgive others because we have received forgiveness. And that's how we break out of a cycle of brokenness and retribution. No one deserves forgiveness, but we all need it. There's a third objection which I'll raise, which is when people say something like this. Forgiveness means people get away with it. They do wrong, they receive forgiveness, they get away with it. No, that's not what it's about. Forgiveness comes as people humble themselves and recognize they're wrong and the hurt and problem and brokenness it causes. So they should feel sorry about their wrong and continue to feel sorry about their wrong, because it's still wrong that they did. It's not getting away with it. Forgiveness is about getting over it. If we are forgiven, we can start again. Our wrong is still wrong, but it's no longer a blockage. We can get over it. And if we are forgiven, it changes us. We're grateful. Do you remember the little parable which Jesus told about the person who had done much wrong and the person who recognized little wrong? And then which is more grateful if they're forgiven? Well, the one who recognized they'd done great wrong. Gratitude is a major part of the dynamic of forgiveness. If we are forgiven, it changes us. We're so grateful, we change. And so forgiveness is the difference between a downward spiral of hurt and blame and recrimination and retaliation and alienation and bitterness and loneliness, and the good alternative, an upward spiral of hurt and humility and confession and apology and forgiveness and gratitude and change and bringing together and acceptance and reinstatement. Forgiveness makes all the difference, doesn't it? That's why Jesus put it in the middle of what we are to pray and commented on it straight after that prayer. It's hard, but why wouldn't you forgive, having received forgiveness from the Lord? And isn't it good to ask for forgiveness humbly? It's worth doing and praying. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your good news. And we thank you that forgiveness is at the center of your good news. We thank you for the work you did on the cross for our forgiveness. And we pray that we might receive and give for your name's sake. Amen.